So I got into sports gambling a long time ago when a guy in my young years taught me, Josh, about the point spread. I'm sure you had somebody teach you about the point spread, right? So somebody teaching me about the point spread. And so I learned all about what the spread was for and why it was a half a point. And then I learned that you do this in the NFL and these lines come out in the newspapers all the time. And so I could look at these lines and get an idea of what the point spread would be. And I thought, that's a great idea. And so I thought, well, if I can go ahead and bet on those point spreads, why can't I then be a bookmaker on those point spreads? So I actually went around to friends who passed word around to their friends that I was making book. And so I did that for a little while until I got into trouble. Josh, can you imagine that I would get into trouble doing that sort of a thing?
Yeah, no, Ron, I totally imagine. I can see that maybe not ending in the perfect way here, but hopefully it turned out pretty well, Ron. Maybe it's a bad ending, but hopefully you made some money on your young friends when your early bookmaking days.
Yeah, well, a couple things happened there. I did get in trouble. I got called in to the counselor's office and told that if you're going to be doing this, do it much later in life. Don't be doing this in junior high. Yes, I was bookmaking in junior high, and by the way, I lost money, which is as good a reason that we should get into some lesson planning right now.
Welcome to the Everything Guide to Sports Betting podcast. Learn how to be a smarter better from the experts at VSiN, the sports betting network. Now, here are your hosts, Ron Flatter and Josh Applebaum.
Class is in session. Ron Flatter here, Josh Applebaum there. And look, this is what we're going to be doing. If this is the first time you're plugging into this series, then great. You're picking up what we actually did as our very first lesson plan. Now, if you're really a little bit advanced into sports gambling, this may already be behind you. You probably cleared all these hurdles. But if you're just getting into it and you're just a little embarrassed to say, I don't know what a point spread is. Why is there a half a point? What's going on there? Well, the Everything Guide to Sports Betting on VSiN will provide you with that lesson. Josh, do you remember, in all seriousness, other than my story, which is true, how you did come to learn about all this?
Yeah, Ron, you know, maybe my story isn't as cool as yours, but I do remember back in college when, of course, I'm from the New England area. I grew up a diehard Patriots fan. My Patriots were going for the perfect season against the Giants. Everyone thought they were going to kill them. I think the Pats were about a minus 12 favorite in the Super Bowl, which, by the way, is known as the game that shall not be mentioned in the New England states. But I was happy to lay the 12 points. It may have even been minus 14 at one point, expecting Brady and the Pats to roll. Obviously, the rest is history, but maybe that benefited us. You know, Ron, you lost a little money starting your own sports book. I lost and made a rookie mistake betting on my Patriots blindly. But look at us now. We're hosting this podcast. So maybe it was all for the good in the end of it.
Yeah, maybe we just got out of the gambling side of it so we could talk about it. You know, what is it they say? Those who can teach and those who can't teach, teach gym classes, Woody Allen once said. All right, so you were talking about minus and laying. So what, these are foreign terms to you? One of the things that happens when we're talking about point spreads and money lines, totals, the juice or the vigorish, if you will, dogs and favorites. Some of these terms are very basic, but they might not be in your vocabulary. So let's go ahead and talk about these. And one of the things you just mentioned, Josh, was that the Patriots were a minus, say, 7.5 point favorite. One of the first things you learn in sports gambling is there is a counterintuitive look to what a favorite is. If it says Patriots minus 7.5, that means the Patriots are favored by 7.5. When you apply the point spread, you take the Patriots score and subtract 7.5. That's the margin by which they are favored. But Josh, why don't you talk a little bit about how odds makers really, how they set this line. The spread is the line. It's the same thing in terms of our vocabulary in this context.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Ron. And I think what's really important is, you know, everyone started as a new bettor. You know, a new bettor considered a public bettor, a recreational bettor, a casual bettor. No one started as a sharp. So these terms are really important, especially with you know, sports betting legalization really spreading across America, and you're seeing, you know, half the country or more legalizing sports betting. So as a result, you're going to have all these new bettors entering the market. And really, you know, you need somewhere to start. You need to learn the rules of the road. You need to learn how the game is played, because if you want to win at sports betting, you got to know the way it's played. So first off, we're talking different bet types overall. So the point spread. So before we talk about the point spread, like you mentioned, Ron, I think it's important to take a step back, setting the line. You know, Ron, when you were an odds maker and you were setting a line, this was really, really important because, you know, in order to bet on a game, the odds makers, which who work at the sports books, which, you know, a sports book is where you place a bet. It can either be in person at a place like the South Point or Circa Sports or the Borgata in New Jersey, or it can be online through a mobile app, you know, or just a mobile version overall. However, once the line is set, I think this is really important because you got to know that how is the line set? How did the odds makers come up with the Patriots being a 7.5-point favorite? What do? They lean on a lot of power ratings. So power ratings are basically a statistical way to rank and rate all the teams in a sport relative to each other. So what you're looking at is the strengths and weaknesses, the stat categories, maybe looking at margin of victory, position groupings overall. So that'll give kind of the odds makers a rough number of what the line should be. But then they're going to make adjustments, Ron.
And by the way, and part of that, it's not just odds makers who have to do that, but bettors should do that for themselves. And as you become more advanced, you want to have those sorts of power ratings in your mind, because the disagreement you have between yourself and the odds makers might be an opportunity for you to win money. But we'll get into that more along the line. I just wanted to make sure it was realized that odds makers aren't the only ones who have power ratings.
Yeah, and that's key, Ron, because if you can set your own power ratings, and this is, you know, down the road a little bit when we get into strategies and sharp betting and how to identify a smart bet overall, you can set your own power ratings. Maybe you say the Patriots should be a 9-point favorite, but the books open them at -7. Mm-hmm. Therefore, you would see some value. You can compare your numbers to the odds makers and look for some actionable opportunities there overall. So yeah, once the odds makers set the line based on, you know, heavily influenced power ratings, they're going to make adjustments to the line, which would incorporate, you know, home field advantage, maybe injuries, scheduling, weather, head-to-head matchups. Maybe one team has a, you know, a terrible offensive line, the opponent has a great, you know, bunch of edge rushers who can sack the quarterback. They'll also, you know, talk to their different advisors, you know, trusted consultants to come up with a number overall. But the first thing they do once they set the line is, you know, the odds makers have to determine, Ron, the favorite and the underdog. Underdog and dog, and same way, sort of thing.
And by the way, we should note this. Part of the reason that the point spread was established really right around World War II was that money line bets, which we'll explain to you in a few moments, just, let's say you take the Patriots and I take, oh, let's say the Cardinals, and you have an advantage, but we make a straight up bet just between ourselves. You have an advantage, at least based on historical data and how things have gone over time, that you have the better team. This was a way to balance the table. You got a team that you think is going to win by 2 touchdowns, and the odds makers think they'll win by 2 touchdowns. So why not make them a favorite by 2 touchdowns and make them subtract 14 points? And that's where the point spread came into play.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Ron. And we got to give credit to kind of the GOAT of creating a line, Charles K. McNeil. He was
absolutely
a math genius. He's our guy. Yeah, he's in the Sports Betting Hall of Fame. He actually taught JFK, believe it or not. But he kind of was a savant who really came up with the idea of a point spread, covering a number, weighting a team. Okay, they should be a 3-point favorite or a 7-point or a 10-point favorite. And he really changed the game in the 40s in Chicago, really, you know, creating the point spread. Totally different way to bet overall. But when we talk about dogs and favorites, you know, what is a favorite? A favorite is, quote unquote, the better team. They're expected to win the game. The dog is the worst team. They're expected to lose the game. But it's really not as simple as, you know, the team with the better record is always the favorite, or the team getting the majority of the action is always the favorite. It's all based on that particular day, based on those variables and those factors on that one day. And you also got to remember, Ron, you know, this is why sports betting is tough, because, you know, favorites win the majority of their games because they're the better team. They have the better players, on average, better coaching. However, odds makers need to make betting fair. They need to provide risks for betting favorites and benefits for betting dogs, because if both favorites and dogs were, you know, weighted equally, then the books would get crushed because everyone would bet favorites. Favorites win the majority of the games. The books would go bankrupt. So really what you're doing by setting a number is trying to, you know, bring in 50-50 action on both sides. That way the books can limit their liability overall. But yeah, you know, when you're looking at pros and cons, when we're talking about setting a line, it's always that favorite giving, you know, laying points. So they're going to have to win by more than whatever the spread is. If the Patriots are -7.5, if they win by 7, you lose your bet. It's not just about winning the game or losing the game. It's the margin of victory. So again, you know, whether you're laying points with a favorite, whether you're getting points with a dog, it's all about covering that number. And if you can win by, you know, more than that amount, or a dog lose the game, you know, but cover that number, covering is the name of the game. You know, good teams win, great teams cover. That's what they say. So remember, it's always that plus minus pro con argument, and that's why dogs can be appealing, because you're getting points. They can lose the game but still cover the number.
Absolutely, that is the case. And when you do, again, look at these numbers, you hear us talking about -7.5, laying 7.5, you're giving 7.5. All those mean the same thing. In the example we've been citing, the Patriots are subtracting that from their score. You're getting 7.5 with the Cardinals, let's say, plus 7.5. That's exactly what it means. You're getting the Cardinals score plus that amount to try to balance things, as Josh just described. Okay, so all the factors we're talking about. We should also note home field, because that always seems to be an easy number to throw out, although there are variables in it. But generally you hear that in, say, football, that the home field is worth 3 points. So if you have two teams that you think are equal, and you're saying to yourself, wait a minute, these two teams look equal to me. Why is one team favored by 3 when they look equal? Because that team is at home. So when you're looking at those numbers, you apply your power ratings. Don't forget, subtract 3 points from the home team, because that's the advantage that they get.
Yeah, I think it's a great point, Ron. You know, two teams meet in, let's say, the Super Bowl or a neutral site where both teams are technically on the road. You know, if they're dead even, the game's a pick 'em, which would be basically no spread either way. It's a coin flip. It's a pick or pick 'em. You might even see in parentheses a PK in terms of a pick 'em type game. Basically, yes. The spread is zero overall, and you're just betting on who will win the game at that point. But yeah, you know, typically odds makers, they're going to award 3 points for home field advantage, maybe a little more, a little less, depending on the site. Not only is that, obviously you have the home crowd, you know, cheering you on, and you're at the friendly confines. Also, crowd noise can have a big impact and, you know, make it harder for that visiting team to listen to the snap count. But also, I read a great article, Ron. You might find this interesting. Referees can be influenced by home crowds as well. So maybe they're, you know, going to keep that flag in their pocket and not call pass interference because they're afraid of getting booed by the home crowd. So even things like refereeing can be a benefit overall when you're talking home field advantage. But also, Ron, did you know that not all spreads are even numbers? Did you know that there are half points as well?
Oh, believe me, and we often call those the hook. When you hear about the hook in gambling, it is that half point. We have a good friend who often says, may the hook be with you. Well, that half point can certainly mean a lot. And especially when you look at numbers in football, you see that 6.5 or 7.5. It's not accidental that it's on either side of 7. What's a number that's easy to get in football? Score a touchdown, 7. It's a key number. Same thing with 3, because field goals would be involved. Either side of 3, a team favored by 2.5 or 3.5. 3 you don't see so much, although it's not unheard of. It's not entirely rare, but those half points prevent what we call a push. A push is a tie. Neither side won, neither side lost, and the books have to refund money. They don't like doing that, because then they went to all that effort, all that trouble, all that labor intensity, and they don't get a cent from it. So let's talk about the half point. Josh, how is the hook with you?
Yeah, hopefully it's always in your favor. That's always the key. Yeah, the hook is really important. Again, spreads are not just whole numbers. You can get a half point, and that can be the difference between a win and a loss. And Ron, you know, talking about key numbers, you know, we're using the NFL today as a big example because it's the most popular league to bet on. It gets the most action. But, you know, the most key number overall is 3. Why? Because, again, you mentioned, Ron, the field goal is the most common method of scoring. That's why you scratch your head and say, I see a lot of 20 to 17 games, 24-21 games. And it's because, you know, kicking that 3-point field goal is your most common margin of victory. So, you know, the hook would be a dog getting plus 3.5. That way they lose by three, you still cover that number because you got the hook. And whenever we're talking about key numbers, it's always trying to be on or off a key number. So for example, you know, you can kind of flip the hook, and you know, if you can get a favorite that's -2.5, that's really important, because they win by three, boom, you're able to cover that bet. The dog +3.5, they lose by three, you cover that bet. So that's really, really important, knowing that, you know, once the odds makers set the line, you know, the action will move. You know, odds are always fluid. You got to remember, if you're new to betting, just whatever the number opens at, it's not a guarantee it's going to stay there. It can go up or down based on the action coming in. And whenever you're betting a sport like football, you know, if the Ravens are playing the Eagles and the Ravens are a 3-point favorite, they win by three, that's a push. But if you had jumped on that number, maybe when it fell to 2.5, or jumped on the dog, the Eagles at 3.5, you can win your bet. So always remember that these lines do change, but knowing these key numbers, a 3, a 6, a 7, a 10, being on or off a key number, really, really important. And then when you cover, on, you get your ATS record against the spread. So maybe the Jets are only, you know, 2-10 in their last 12, but they're 7-5 ATS covering the number. So it's a totally different way to look at betting. You don't care so much as the team winning. It's all about covering the number, because that means you're able to win your spread bet.
Absolutely. And the ATS, again, against the spread, you'll see that in publications, newspapers ago, and certainly online and digital platforms, you'll see those overall and ATS records. So if you're looking to back a team and see how they do in what we call, you know, in gambling speak, then you certainly look at those ATS numbers. Now, we have to introduce the complication in here that's sort of like, okay, you're learning to play the piano, and all of a sudden you got to figure out why the left hand's got to do more work than the right. And that's the juice. It's the vig, the vigorish. Boy, there was an episode of 2.5 Men years ago where Uncle Charlie was teaching young Jake about the vig, the vigorish, and the kid learned, hey, it's better to be the house. You know, and I was a kid when that junior high booking, I didn't know about the vigorish. That teacher who taught me those point spreads didn't teach me that. My life could have changed if I actually had figured that out. But the vig, basically, Josh, you want to explain what the base is? If we're just starting out, there's no extra juice. We'll explain extra juice in a moment, but explain the 11 to 10 lay that you'd take if you're a bettor that actually does help the house.
Yeah, so I think this is a term, you know, you want to sound cool, you can throw out the term the juice. Same thing as the vig, short for vigorous. Yeah, Ron, it's a, when I was researching my book, The Everything Guide to Sports Betting, it actually was a Yiddish slang for a Russian word back in the day for winnings. So a little, you know, you're doing pub trivia or whatever, Trivial Pursuit, maybe you can win on that one. But this is the tax or the commission that you must pay the house in order for them to accept your bet. So it's kind of like a dirty little secret in betting. And this gives the house basically their edge, because when you talk about the juice, you know, it's a three-digit number. It's usually in parentheses next to a spread or a total. When you're betting a money line, we'll get to that in a second, it's usually just built into the number overall. But this is an additional price that you have to pay to the house. So think of standard juice as -110. So what does that mean? We call that 10-cent juice. That's kind of just your average standard juice overall. That means you're paying an extra 10 cents on every dollar bet in order for you to place a bet. So for example, let's say again, the Ravens are playing the Eagles. The Ravens are -3 at -110. What does that mean? That means if you want to bet the Ravens -3, you'd have to risk $110 in order to win 100. So the juice is that additional amount that you're paying the house in order to accept your bet. Now, the key with the juice is that, you know, it moves based on action coming in. The juice might move, you know, if the Ravens are getting hit by a lot of, you know, action, they may go from -3 on the spread at -110 up to -115 or -120. What the odds makers are doing there, the books are doing, is they're making you pay a higher price, a more expensive price, because that's the popular side overall. And then usually, you know, what'll happen is when one juice rises on one side, it'll get decreased on the other. So maybe the Eagles go, you know, +3 at -110 down to -105. At some point, the whole odds just change overall. So once you get to -3, -125, that's about as high as you go, then the whole odds would just flip to -3.5. But the juice is key, because you got to know, in a vacuum, these games aren't being played in a vacuum. This extra money that you have to pay the house, this is kind of why they always come out on top, Ron, because if they set a good number that has 50-50 action both sides, the outcome is irrelevant. They rake in a guaranteed profit based on that extra 10 cents, 20 cents that they have to, that the bettors have to pay.
That's it. And rake is another term that you'll often hear for that as well. So basically, and you see this with beginners, they'll make, let's say, a $10 bet, go back to the window having won, and they're handed back. Well, they get back at, what is it, $19.10 or something like that. That, and they're sitting, wait a minute, I won $10. No. That's the tax that's built in. And generally, it is what we say is a 10-cent tax, the dime, if you will, although dime has a totally different meaning in another context we'll explain on another show. But you look at that and you have to build that in. Let's go back to that example you were talking about. When you're right around a key number, let's say you like the underdog and you wish you were getting 3.5 points, but to try to entice you to take just three, the house might say, we'll give you even money so that you make that $10 bet. You get 10 plus 10 back in that case, because on the other side, you're having to pay a 20-cent tax instead of a 10-cent tax if you're on the favorite laying the 3 points. But to keep them from having to move that number to 3.5, where they think that they're going to get hit hard by bettors, they might go ahead and give you a favorable rate, that even money. So if you see the plus 100, that's even money. For every dollar you bet, if you win, you're getting the full dollar back. But generally, Josh, yeah, you're basically getting about 91 cents on the dollar, 90.9, I think is the exact, on this 11 to 10 situation. It's complicated. It sounds complicated. But once you've done this for a while, you build that into your mind and maybe into your math a little bit. You want to get $10 back? Bet 11. That's the easy way to do it if you think you're going to be a winner.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Ron. And just consider it a tax. It's the tax you have to pay. You're going to go buy something at a store. There's sales tax. There's whatever different taxes that they add on there. Same thing when you're betting sports. And, you know, to me, what's important about the juice, a couple things. One is, especially for new bettors, you want to have multiple accounts at different sports books. You don't want to only bet through one book, because the juice will be different at different books. Maybe one book is minus 115, another is minus 112, another is minus 110. If you can shop around and go bet your number, you know, if the Ravens are -3 across the board, the odds are the same, but the juice could be different. So you want to make sure you place your bet at whatever book gives you the best number. And then also in terms of juice, I look at it as kind of pulling back the curtain and knowing that, okay, if a side is getting juiced up, which means, you know, they're heavy juiced, minus 115 or more, minus 120, that's letting me know that the house number one has some liability on that side. They're making you pay a higher price because that's where the majority of the action is going. But I love looking at juice, Ron, in terms of trying to read line movement and anticipate line movement. So, right. You know, in the example you gave, you know, we talk about that critical number, that key number of 3. If you see that -3 with the Ravens suddenly go from minus 120 to minus 125, what's likely going to happen is that line is next going to go to 3.5. So therefore, you know, even though I'm paying a higher juice, if I like the Ravens, I would want to bet that when I can still get a -3. But on the flip side, you like the dog in that scenario, you'd want to wait it out, because right now you're only getting 3. Yes, you're kind of even money, or, you know, a better juice, a lower juice overall, but it likely it's going to move to 3.5. And if I wait, then I can get the extra half point. So juice movement, again, where's the liability? That's what it tells you. And then also predicting the next move, trying to get the best number, basically answers the question, should I wait because the line will get better, or should I bet it now because the line will get worse?
Just remember to keep track of the line, and it's easy to do. Don't think that just because somebody says it's such and such and you read it somewhere that it's up to date. Go to places like VSiN, vsin.com, and you can keep track of line movement as it happens all day and all night, 24/7. It's not all about point spreads. There are other things, money lines and totals, and oh, we've got to get into all that, and some factors you might not have weighed when you were thinking about all this up until now, as we continue with the Everything Guide to Sports Betting on VSiN. The Everything Guide to Sports Betting on VSiN is not just about point spreads. There are other ways to bet games, and we're talking a lot about football, but these theories can apply in basketball and in baseball and hockey. Although in baseball and hockey, there is a more popular way to bet than the spread. In baseball, the spread is called the run line. It's usually 1.5 runs per game. In hockey, it is called the puck line. It's usually 1.5 goals per game. But the more popular way to bet these, and a secondary way that you might think of that might be more popular for you to bet football and basketball is the money line. And this goes back to, you have your team, I have mine. We bet $5, and whichever team wins, wins. Although one of us is probably at a huge advantage because we have the better team. But even then, there are ways with that because you're getting odds, Josh.
Yeah, so the money line is kind of the second biggest way, or, you know, most popular way to bet a game. So I think what's funny, or what's important, is that, you know, the point spread, it's mostly in basketball and football, because looking at margins of victory, it's somewhat rare that a team is going to win by one run or one point or whatever it's going to be.
Right.
So as a result, you're more concerned about who's going to cover the spread. But when you get to baseball and hockey, it's really predominantly a money line sport because you have a lot of one-run games, one-goal games. So as a result, it makes more sense to bet on who's just going to win the game straight up. And you talk about straight up, you'll see, like, you know, ATS is against the spread, SU is straight up. Those are kind of your distinctions there.
Right. Straight up is simply an outright winner. As simple as that.
Exactly. Doesn't matter the margin of victory, Ron. You know, when we're talking money line, you can win by one run or 100 runs. It does not matter. They pay out the same. All you care about is who's going to win the game. So even money, like you mentioned, you know, minus 100, plus 100, that's kind of just right down the middle. You're even money. But then your favorite is going to lay a minus number. Your dog is going to get a plus money payout. So again, baseball, kind of your biggest money line bet, money line sport overall. Maybe the Red Sox are a minus 150 favorite in a baseball game. What does that mean on the money line? It means you have to risk $150 in order to win 100. And if the Sox win that game, you get your 150 you risk back, plus you'll get your 100. On the flip side, maybe they're playing the Yankees, who are a plus 135 underdog. And remember, same thing with spread and money line. That team with the minus sign in front of them is the favorite. The team with the plus sign in front of them is the underdog. So if the Yankees are a plus 135 underdog, what that means is if you risk $100 and they win the game, you win $135, plus you get your $100 back. So this is, again, that risk-reward where a favorite, instead of laying points, is laying a more expensive price, and a dog, instead of getting points, is getting an additional plus money payout overall. So, again, a different type of way to bet, but all you care about is that straight up, who's going to win the game? That's what you're betting on the money line.
Yeah, I find it, by the way, interesting that you wrote the copy for this and made the Red Sox a favorite against the Yankees, being from New England. So I just want to make sure, if you're listening in New York, that's why that happened the way it did. Betting the total. Okay, we also call this the over-under. And you hear about this in everyday talk. Hey, what's the over-under that this guy is going to say booger 15 times in a sentence or something like that? God forbid we should be betting on that. But over-under actually does happen in all the sports we've mentioned and then some. The over-under, the total amount of points or goals or runs scored in a game the two teams combined. That's another thing you have to remember. These are the two teams combined for totals betting and over-under betting, Josh.
Yeah, so total, same thing as an over-under. You know, again, betting is all about jargon and vernacular. And, you know, some people might call it a total. Some people might call it an over-under, you know, parentheses OU. You know, that's really what you're looking at in general. Mm-hmm. But again, all you're looking at is the total amount of points scored between both teams combined. And remember that, you know, overtime counts, extra innings count. You know, we always talk about what a bad beat is. A bad beat is maybe, you know, you're winning the game, you're looking great, your bet's doing well, and then at the very end, you lose in heartbreaking fashion. So, you know, maybe you bet an under, and it's a really low-scoring game, but then, you know, bottom of the ninth, five runs are scored, you lose, it goes over. You always got to remember that overtime counts toward the total. But it's a different way to sweat a game, and sweating is just having action on a game and rooting for your bet. But basically, instead of rooting for one team, whether you're on the spread, you want one team to cover, whether you're on the money line, you want one team to win, you're kind of betting on both teams. And you're betting on both teams to either score a lot combined points if you're betting the over, or score a low amount of points if you're betting the under. So it's, again, totally different way to bet a game. But just, you know, in general, some common totals that you might see. When you're looking at high-scoring sports, totals are, you know, kind of more popular overall. Like in football, maybe a total is 45, or, you know, anywhere in the 40s, maybe, you know, low 50s would be a high total. When you're talking about the NBA, totals are, you know, in the 200s, 215, 220 even. College, they're lower. They're around, like, you know, 130, 140 overall. Total in baseball is around 8.5. Hockey is around 5.5. But also we got to know that the public, you know, that the betting public makes up the vast majority of the market. They're going to be very biased toward betting favorites on the money line and spread because, you know, you want to bet on, quote unquote, the better team. It makes more sense. But also when you're betting a total, the public is going to be really predisposed to betting overs because psychologically it's much more fun to root for a lot of points and scoring and touchdowns and home runs and three pointers than it would be for rooting for a low scoring game overall. But Ron, when you're betting a total, I know you take a lot of factors into account. What are maybe some that you look at whether you're deciding whether to bet an over or an under?
Weather is a big one. I know the classic example often given is Wrigley Field in Chicago. People will always want to know if the wind is blowing in or out. Back in the old days, before we had the immediate availability of weather on our computers or on our tablets, we would find out the weather maybe through the newspaper or, as bookmakers will often find out and tell you of a certain vintage, they used to call the Weather Bureau in Chicago to ask which way is the wind blowing. Well, that's a big thing because the total in the game is certainly going to go up if the wind is blowing out of the southwest at Wrigley because the field is aimed toward the northeast, toward the lake. It's good to know, by the way, which way the fields are lined up in all these sports if you're going to go in that respect. Rain, snow, etc., those are factors. Wind being a bigger factor than anything in football, because wind can certainly do more to passes than snow and rain can in terms of ruining the trajectory of them. But you go to that as well as a one that is maybe the biggest of all, injuries, especially late injuries or late breaking news on injuries, especially say in that hour and a half before game time where coaches meet with the media and then reveal maybe what they had not before. Or you see in hockey where they're very close to the vest with their injuries, the team skates on the ice and the first guy out is not the goalie you thought it was going to be, and suddenly that changes everything. So the goalie that's going to be in between the pipes in the NHL certainly is the quarterback, a key running back, a key receiver hurt in the NFL. All of those things enter into my thinking on how I bet. And you try to get the jump a little bit if you have a way of finding out information and you think that maybe the bookmaker doesn't have it yet. You race to your app, and this goes right to what you said, Josh. If you have multiple apps, look around, and you can see which ones got the news and maybe which ones didn't, and you can pounce on the ones that did not. Doesn't always work because they too, you know, bookmakers are watching what we do too, sometimes a little quicker than we do. So with that in mind, though, those are edges you try to get, especially as you go forward, and you don't want to lock yourself in too early on a bet, especially if there is an injury question about a game or certainly a player in a game that you're betting on.
Yeah, I think it's a great point, Ron. And maybe you don't see value on a team winning or covering, but you can bet a game because you have an edge, an advantage over the house on a total matchup. So I'll give you an example. You know, I remember last year I saw there was a Hawaii game in college football. It was an 11 o'clock game. No one really cared about it. It was so late at night. But early in the week, I saw these forecasts that were calling for 25-mile-an-hour winds at the Hawaii Stadium. The total opens at, I don't know, around like 45. I bet that under 45 early. Once everyone finds out about the weather and kind of the, you know, the masses and the public come onto that, that total drops 45 to 42 to 40. It closes at 38. That's the sort of thing where if you can do your research and be aware of these things, you can really, really get a great advantage overall. And then, Ron, I'll also throw to you, you know, looking at style of play when you're betting a total, especially in basketball, looking at pace and possessions. You know, a team that really pushes the pace, gets off a lot of shots, that benefits an over because they'll have more opportunities to score. You know, a team that really slows it down, plays half court, chews up the shot clock, that's better suited to an under. And even looking at things like coaching tendencies and referee tendencies, you know, referees can call a lot of fouls and get guys to the line and add on a bunch of, you know, free throws to the total, good for an over, whereas, you know, referees who let them play, as they say, maybe a little bit better suited to the under. But yeah, long story short, Ron, you know, Celtics are playing the Lakers. Again, totals can be half points as well. Maybe the total is 214 and a half. If I wanted to bet that over, both teams need to combine to score 215 points or more. If I took the under 214 and a half, they'd have to combine 214 or less. But again, remember, the total will also have the juice attached to it. You'll have to pay that price depending on whatever the odds makers have set, whether it's minus 110, minus 115. But in the end, these are the rules of the road that you need to know. You need to know spreads, money lines, totals, the juice, dogs and favorites, how to set a line. Once you can get, this is your betting 101. Once you get this accomplished and you got a feel for it and you kind of know the rules of the road, then advance on to more complex concepts. So hopefully we outline them pretty well and pretty easy for our VSiN listeners today, Ron.
I hope you were shaded to the over. Oh, there's another term, by the way, shaded to the over. That means that that tax, that juice, the vigorish will be a little higher if you bet the over than if you take the under. So you'll hear that term, shaded to the over or over juiced to the over. You'll hear that on totals as well. It feels like we need a Berlitz class sometimes when we're trying to learn and translate all the terms that we have in sports gambling. But the jargon is important. Once you get that and you can understand a lot more of what's being talked about, and I really think that that's about 50% of the battle in terms of just getting your foot in the door is just understanding the language.
I agree with you, Ron. You know, once you kind of learn these concepts and you feel comfortable with them, then you can kind of put that aside and really advance in your betting career. And remember, you're not going to become an expert overnight, but lean on these concepts first. And remember that at VSiN, we're here to help you along your journey to being a sharper sports bettor overall. The goal is to just get 0.01% sharper every day. That's kind of what I say. You're never going to become Billy Walters overnight. But if you can, you know, kind of put yourself on the path toward learning more, remember at VSiN, you can go to VSiN.com. You can sign up for our daily newsletter, which will lean on a lot of betting education concepts. You can go to VSiN.com/newsletter. But remember, at the team at VSiN, our goal is to help you make smarter bets overall. And it all starts with learning the basics and the basic fundamentals like we talked about today.
If you do Google Billy Walters wondering who he is, please come back to us after you read the reams and reams of copy. We want you along for another edition of the Everything Guide to Sports Betting on VSiN.